Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I love hearing success stories like we're about to hear on the podcast today. My guest on the show today knew nothing about rental properties, but he took the time to educate himself and learn, and he took action. He bought his first property. It was a duplex where he lived in one side. He rented out the other, and that one simple action snowballed, and he started generating more cash flow and started building equity in his properties, and he was able to put together a really good portfolio. And it all started with that one simple action. We're going to walk through exactly how he did it. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 60 seconds and we'll meet Theo Jones from Atlanta.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
If you're a do-it-yourself landlord and you're looking for the ultimate online resource to help you better manage your rentals, check out Rentler. They have everything you could possibly need to help you better manage your rental properties, from taking online applications to tenant screenings and online payment processing. They have a special offer just for our listeners. If you go to tryrentler.com/download, you can download a free report with the eviction laws for all 50 states. That's tryrentler, tryrentler.com/download. Hey, Theo, thanks for coming on the podcast. Before we get into your story, why don't you tell me how you first got interested in buying rentals?
Great question, Dan. I think like most people, I was driving around in 2007 and I heard one of the commercials. You guys know what I'm talking about. Hey, real estate seminar, come on down.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
Yeah.
20 years old. Why not? You know, I was working, like most people were working. I was working two jobs, FedEx overnight, valeting in the evening. So it just was like, man, this is crazy. I got to do something else. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I said, I have nothing to lose.
Right.
And that's what sparked the interest, going to that first seminar, Rich Dad, Robert Kiyosaki Education. And it sparked my interest. I even bought the second, you know, how you go there, they got the, hey, come to this thing. I bought that too. Cause I'm like, man, I'm all in. That actually cost me $500 and I was making $500 a week.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, yeah. When you're only making $500 to give up a whole week's pay. Now, yeah. Was it worth it? Like, do you feel like you, at that time, that gave you the information that you needed to go forward? Or did you kind of feel that it really wasn't that great of information that they gave you?
I'm going to be honest, Dan, I don't even really totally completely remember, but okay. What I can tell you though is I think when you put some money behind yourself, especially when it's a whole week paycheck, you at least me, I know most likely you, and I know the listeners listening, we're all probably here on the same table. It sparks something within you. So yeah. I think the education, it wasn't bad. You know, I didn't walk away like, oh man, what was this? But
right.
I just felt like, man, I didn't took this whole week of a paycheck, and mind you, like I'm saying, I'm valeting, so that money's not guaranteed.
Right.
You know, it's like
right.
It's like the stock market. Every week we may make 400 here. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it was just like, I've put the money on. I got to do something now.
Yeah. Okay. So it got you going, and it got you motivated to buy your first property. So yeah. What you were looking for that first property was a house hack. So you were going to, you wanted to buy a duplex. You wanted to live in one side and rent out the other side. And I think that's a great way to get started on a first deal. Now, yes. Did you consider buying a property that you were going to exclusively live in, or did you consider buying a property that was going to be exclusively a rental, or did you just figure a duplex is really the greatest combination of both out there?
Well, initially going in, when I initially started looking for properties in 2008, I was still a little foggy, to be a little honest with you. And the first property that I got on the contract was, it was a property that I could have, it had the potential to make into like a downstairs area where you could make a livable space and rent the upstairs. So I always had it like in my mind, but I didn't have like, okay, got to get a duplex though in my mind.
Okay.
But when that deal fell through, the financing didn't go well on that first deal. And the second deal just popped on the market and my agent sent it to me. Like he sent it to me like, man, right when it came on the market.
Yeah.
The first property I bought, he sent it to me either the same day or the next morning. And when I looked at the property, that's when it really hit me. Like, why was I looking at anything else?
Right,
it hit me then, you know what I mean? So it didn't hit me at front, but when I saw that, I was like, man, I don't, what? You know what I mean? Because the numbers, I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? Because it was there. I knew that I was looking at the rental amounts, you know, and I'm just like, whoa, why was I even considering all these other places? So once I saw that, I knew.
It just kind of made sense.
I didn't close on that property, I was a duplex.
Right. Okay. So, tell me about the offer. So you went over. I guess you looked at the property. You said this looks great. Let's put in an offer. What was the market back then competitive? Like where you had to put in a strong offer, or was it where you were able to negotiate with the sellers?
What was happening in the market I was in? It was a very distressed market. 2009, late 2009. And in that market, you had cash buyers that was cash heavy that were buying a lot of property. Cause obviously, like most people know, in that time, the banks were not really lending, as freely as they are currently right now. Mm-hmm. And basically what I wanted to do, because like I said, the house hack phobia had hit me once I had saw this thing. It just got into me, and I'm like, I cannot lose this. I got to get this property. I have to.
Right.
It was like I have to do it. So I came on the market for I think 57 or 59. I can't remember.
Okay.
57 or 59,000. This is a duplex that's four bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms on each side, about 1,500 square feet. In Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, and I came in at $65,000 because I knew the cash buyers would probably come in at, you know, I mean, this is, I'm going to be honest with you, this was the market where you just could come in and just slice it up, man.
Right.
They could have came in at like $40,000 and probably got the property cash, to be quite honest with you. You know what I mean? Once I started buying properties cash after this first property, and I realized like how low you could really go, because the banks were just it was like a liquidation,
right?
It was like a discount liquidation at this point. So I didn't want to lose it. So I came in $65,000, and I got a renovation loan on my financing, so it bumped it up another $10,000, so I can get the renovation done, little odds and end things, and then I moved into it. So my full mortgage was $75,000.
That's great. So you were able to, so you didn't have to come out of pocket to fix up the money. And I think that's a great program for anyone that wants to look that up. It's called the 203K, the FHA 203K loan. But you're able to take your financing, your construction costs to fix the property up and put that into the loan so that you're not having to come up with that $10,000, which I'm sure would have been difficult to come up with at that time. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you got in the property. You did, I mean, for $10,000, it sounds like it just needed some minor type work, right? It wasn't a major type rehab.
Yeah, half of that, Dan, you're 100%. Half of that was the AC.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, 5,000, because I had to get units for okay. both sides.
So what was your mortgage payment?
It was around $675 to $750. You know what had happened? These houses were selling for $275,000, $350,000 before the market crashed. So my taxes at this point were like very skewed. So I was really paying like close to $400 in taxes per month. So the note was really nothing. It was the taxes based off that old appraisal that was kind of had me jammed up for several years. And that's why my mortgage was fluctuating. But it also always stayed between $675 and $750.
Okay. And then you were living in the first unit. And then what were you able to rent out the second unit for?
I was able to rent out the second unit for about $825 to $850.
That's perfect. So you're living for free, and you've got $100 a month in case any kind of minor repair comes up, or anything that might come up. You have a little bit of a slush fund.
That's it.
That's great.
Put a little money away. That's it. You know. So no, you're exactly right. And also, I'm able to put money away.
Right, because you're not
stacking money, and hence my book, How to Stack Your Money. You know, I'm putting all that money away that I would be paying in rent.
Right, right.
So it's like I've got like a little investment fund going.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
So right.
It was perfect. It was perfect. And those tenants stayed in there for 4 years.
That's great. So there weren't any major problems. That there wasn't, you didn't have evictions every other week. I mean, you had good stable tenants and a good property. That's awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, what that property enabled you to do with saving the money that you would be paying in rent and making a little bit of cash flow off that property is you were able to start saving money, and then that enabled you to buy your next property with cash, right?
Correct. That was several 2009. It was about 2 years down the road, 2011, but yes, sir.
That is awesome. So you buy the next property with cash, and this is, I think, the real powerful thing of real estate is now you have this duplex where you're living for free, but you're able to rent out both units. So your cash flow just basically went crazy, right? Like now you're making like $1,000 a month because you're able to rent out both units.
Exactly. No, what happened was exactly right. I was using the cash that I was getting from regular income from work and the cash from the investment property, and just using that to save it up, stack it up, put it away, and buy other properties cash. So I bought several other properties cash that were very low priced. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, goodness gracious, like anywhere from like some of them are like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 to 15,000. And then 4 years I lived in my duplex, and I moved into one of the properties that I bought cash and lived there 2 years again with none. And like you said, renting out both sides of the duplex. And at this point, it's 4 years later. It's 2013, and I'm getting about $875 in rent, so it's $1,750 per month with that same mortgage, $750, $675. So yeah, cash flowing $1,000 a month, and that house was built in 2003 or 2004. So it's only 10 years old. Not a lot of repairs to be done.
Right.
So it was just smooth sailing. I think the biggest repair I had was a water line busted, and I had the whole entire water line replaced for both sides and this is because I'm in contract, and I got it done for like $600, really.
Right. Now
that's probably $2,000-$3,000 repair for the average person. But at the end of the day, that was my biggest expense on that property in 6 years of holding it.
Now, with that duplex, so, I mean, this is like a great property. It's making you $1,000 a month. Like, you've got really good cash flow coming in. And it really, I think that property really set you up for the rest of your investing career, it sounds like. Just having that foundation. But you ended up selling that property. Tell me about why you sold it.
Okay. Well, okay. 2009, I put about $5,500 down to buy that property. And then 2013, like I said, I'm making $1,750 gross income with the payment of $750. So I'm making about net $1,000 a month. It was about $12,000 a year. And after 2 years of doing that, a little over 2 years, I just said, hey, I want to sell this thing. I just want to, I just want to sell it to see what price I could get for it. Cause I knew I had a threshold. Like, I'm not going to go below this price because, as we're talking about, I know the income this property produces,
right.
You know? So
right.
Basically I just said, well, let's do it. And one of the reasons, I decided to sell it, my mother was building a property in the Virgin Islands that she's been wanting to build for 30 years. And I wanted to, you know, help her, you know, give her some cash for that. So that was one. Those were kind of the two incentives. Let me see. The market is turned around. Let me see what I can get for it. And let me help out, you know, of course, one of my closest people in my family. Everybody wants to help out the mother. So, you know, those were the two determining factors. So I listed it for $165,000. Got it under contract. I got it under contract for $165,000. The buyer found a couple of things, got me down to $163,000. Then the appraisal came back at $133,000. And I was like, whoa. You know, this was like, I think like the week of Thanksgiving or the, you know, it was like right then. And I'm just like, man, this is not good. You know, I mean, $30,000 because the bank's not looking at the rental income. They're just comparing it to all these other properties and sales and this, that, and the third. So I literally didn't do anything. I was upset. Like, you know how you get upset. You know, you're like, oh my goodness, how could you come back? And I just said, hey man, you just got to chill.
Right, right.
I didn't respond. I didn't do anything. I really just literally just sat in the house the whole weekend and just meditating, thinking, like trying to just like do, it's going to work. So basically that next week, the buyer was just like, hey man, I'll come up cash $17,000 or some in that respect to bring it up to $150,000.
Okay.
And I sold it at that price because I respected his, though I didn't really want to still lose that, whatever, that off the table, I respected his gesture. So
yeah.
I said, let's do it.
So after closing costs and everything else, I mean, you probably profited somewhere around $75,000 off the appreciation.
I pulled in, I think I left the closing table with about over 70. And then over those 6 years, the gross rent I collected was like over $70,000-$75,000 also, somewhere gross rental income. And then let's just say the average person pays in that neighborhood, since I was living there, I'll go by that rent, $850 for rent. I saved about $10,000 minimum per year. So that was, and I stayed there 4 years. So that was really like another $40,000 that I used to dump into other investments. So it was a perfect property. And then, by the way, I'll just throw this on for the icing on the cake. 2009, of course, they were given a tax credit. So I bought the property. And then in November 2009, 2010, I got a tax credit for AG. So it just was perfect, man.
So it's pretty close to $200,000 that you made off that one property.
Yeah.
And now when you bought that property, were you thinking, the market's really low, this is probably going to appreciate? Or were you thinking, God, the market's really bad, this thing might go down in value?
Great question. Great question, Dan. For me, I am really not a person that I look at that, but the most biggest determining factor for me when it comes to rental property is the rent, because at the end of the day, I unfortunately can't control the market, but I can control the rent.
Mm-hmm.
So I only fully focus and entertain things that I can control, which is the rent. So I knew, hey, if I can get this amount and my note is this amount, at the end of the day, getting $12,000 off this house every year, approximately net about $12,000. That's decent for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I was basing really my value off the rental income. When I listed it for $165,000, I was looking at, okay, he's going to get this much per month. His mortgage payment should be this around. So to me, this price made sense, and I wasn't really basing it too much off the market. That's why I kind of got burnt or stinged or not a non-favorable appraisal, because I was basing it more on the rent. So,
right.
Yeah, I knew it would go up over time. And honestly, I kind of thought that was, I don't want to say the peak, but I thought that 165 was a very high point. So that's why I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good price for me, because if I'm paying 75 for it, in essence, that's doubling the money.
Right,
so I'm like, it's
right,
good for me. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What do you think that property is worth today?
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I would say at least 200, man.
Wow.
I mean, at least be able to get, I mean, what, like, is it, 3 years later? I mean, he should at least be able to get, if he made some simple improvements to the house, you know, I would say at least $950, you know, yeah, $975. I mean, you know, for the rent, and close, really close to $1,000. But
yeah,
everybody's management style is a little different.
Right.
So I'm not sure, but I would hope.
I mean, that's the tough thing with selling a property is, like, I understand what you were thinking at the time, that, man, mm-hmm, I can sell this and I can walk away with this huge chunk of money, and that's going to really change my life, and I'm going to be able to do a lot more things and grow my business. But at the same time, if you had sold it, or if you hadn't have sold it, you would have still made the cash flow, that $1,000 a month, and the house would be worth even more today. So, you know, I guess that there's no perfect answer with this stuff, but I feel like long term, if you can hold on to properties, you're always going to have more in the future.
But at the same time,
like, walking away with 70 grand is still pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So,
and I was able to use that money to invest in another property. So it all works out.
Yeah, it all works out.
I mean,
yeah,
everyone, I'm a big fan of Blackstone. So I really follow what they do. So I'm, you know what I mean? I see how they maneuver. So some properties, yes, I will hold and keep forever, but certain properties, I don't know. Dan, that was the other big incentive for me to sell that property. The real big incentive is that was a personal property, so I didn't have to pay any taxes. So that was
right,
another
you'd
thing.
Live there. Yeah,
it was like, why not?
Yeah,
and it's not like I'm selling it and paying capital gains. I probably wouldn't have sold it if it was in the LLC and all that.
Yeah,
you're right. I probably wouldn't have sold it because I wouldn't want to pay the taxes.
Right.
But
right,
since that was a personal property in my personal name, the only one I had like that, you know, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, you're right. And I think you're right. Everybody that's listening, you got to kind of figure out what your philosophy is going in, because I don't live like, you know, I still drive by the property, you know, at times. Mm-hmm. I'm still, because I did so much, invested millions in that neighborhood, you know, with investors. So I just like to go drive by and see the growth.
Yeah.
And I don't have like any regret or like, damn, you
right,
know what I mean?
No,
I'm just, you know what I mean? But other people may have that. So I'm saying, try to figure out just don't try to live like that. So whatever that is, if you feel like, hey, I need to keep this forever, or maybe, hey, then maybe I should just refinance it and hold it or do, you know, whatever it is, figure out what your philosophy is. Because if it's not selling or just because you may need some cash fast, that may be a short term solution. You know what I mean? So really, I'm agreeing with you. You really got to figure out what your philosophy is. And please get with an accountant or a tax person to figure out how much you're going to be paying in taxes, because no one seems to really look at that. That is really one of my biggest determining factors in everything. So I'm with you 100%. Yeah. Man.
Well, Theo, you've got a great story, and we'll have to have you back on sometime to talk about some of the other stuff that you've done throughout your investing career. But you're also creating a lot of content around what you're doing with your investing. Why don't you tell us how people can find you online to check out some of your stuff?
Okay, they can go to my my website, my YouTube, all that. My social media is just my name. So that's going to be, my full name is Thelonious C as in Charlie Jones. So that's Thelonious Jones, Jones, .com, Facebook, what is it, Instagram, you know, the whole nine. And just go check me out. I got a couple books out. It's on my website, a couple courses. I got one or two courses to help individuals. So just go check it all out. I mean, I just try to give out content like you that's just straightforward, honest, transparent, to try to help people and influence people and motivate people to get out here and do these deals, because there's a lot of wealth that can be made with rental property. I mean, I love rental property. Nothing else I love but rental property. So I just encourage others to get out here and make the right decision and listen to information like you're listening here today, to get the information that you need from people that have done it and learn from their mistakes.
I agree with you 100%. Well, Theo, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you so much for listening. We've got new episodes every single Tuesday. Make sure you subscribe and you'll get the shows downloaded automatically as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.